And so, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I think it's rather strange that we have the Beatitudes for our celebration of All Saints. It's strange that it would be the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, but yet, as I wrestled more and more with this text, I find that it's actually a very, very appropriate lead-in to our celebration of the saints of God. So as we reflect this All Saints Day, well, since All Saints Day was earlier this week, as we reflect today on all of the saints in our lives, what even qualifies us to be saints? Of course, in the Catholic Church, they have a little bit of a different classification. In order to be a saint, you have to be, number one, a Christian. Well, that's a pretty obvious one, I think. Number two, you must lead a life devoted to God and others. Well, that kind of goes with the first one, right? In order to be a Christian, you better be doing that too. But then the third one is you must perform at least two miracles as affirmation that you can, in fact, intervene on the part of humans. These miracles need to be verifiable so that you can be canonized as a saint. That's how the Catholic Church does it, but in our Lutheran Church, we have a little bit of a different understanding. We call the saints those who have been made holy by God. But what could we ever do to be made holy by God? How could we ever do enough? We could try and work our way into God's good graces, but would it be enough? I could give everything I have. I could put my wife and I into poverty so that I could give all that I have to the less fortunate. I could starve myself so that I could feed the hungry. I could preach sermons that are just great and inspirational. I could be the next Billy Graham. I could save soul after soul after soul after soul and bring them to the Lord. But it would never be enough to pay for my sins, or to make me worthy to receive this holiness that God gives. It's such a strange teaching that Jesus is bringing us today. It isn't that God blesses those who give all they have, or God blesses the greatest preachers, or God blesses those who have done the right thing. No, God blesses the poor in spirit, the meek, those who hunger for righteousness. Here what we see in the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus is challenging everything. He is challenging how we look at faith, how we look at life. We think that those who work for it will receive the blessings of God. We think that those who deserve it are the ones who receive the blessings of God. But Jesus says, no, it is the poor in spirit. Which, what a universal feeling that is, being poor in spirit. I think we've all been there. You seek to do good. You seek to serve the Lord. You want to avoid temptation. You fight temptations, but yet you fail. You constantly fail. And it sends you down into that dark depth of shame where you feel poor in spirit. But to you, Jesus says, you are given the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn are the ones who will be blessed. We expect that they wouldn't be blessed, but rather that they would receive sympathy or even pity. We expect mourners not to be blessed people. Jesus here says that they will be comforted, which is an interesting thing because especially as we reflect on All Saints, we still miss our loved ones. Many of us still mourn the loss of our loved ones. There is not a lot of comfort. But here, for those who mourn, Jesus says there will be comfort. Those who are blessed are the meek. The meek are gentle and submissive people, people who are easily taken advantage of. Those people who will not speak up. These are the people who will inherit the earth. Not the people who are outgoing, not the people who are conquerors or the people who are fighters, like we might expect. Those who are blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Notice how it's not those who actively work for it or those who actively seek it. It's those who are hungry and thirsty for it, those who desire righteousness. will be blessed because Jesus says they will get it. Those who are blessed are the merciful. And they are blessed because they too will receive mercy. We expect that when we do acts of generosity or loving things for one another, that we receive more. But here the response to mercy is mercy. Those who are pure in heart will be blessed. The pure in heart are not welcome in our world. They're mocked by our world. They're too innocent, too naive, too foolish to live in this world. You have to have a little bit of impurity in your heart to live in this world. There's an old song out there, if you want to get to heaven, you have to raise a little hell, right? And that's the mentality of people, not purity, quite the opposite. But Jesus here blesses them because they will see God. One of the most profound things of Scripture, something that very few have even been blessed with a glimpse of our God. Those who make peace will be blessed. Peace is one of those things that we hear of nonstop in our day. Everybody wants it. But just like money, everybody wants it, but no one's willing to work for it. And especially as we look at our political climate, as voting day comes up this week, we see many people who call for peace, who desire peace. But yet, we also see those people attacking one another. We hear only negative things. We don't see anyone actually making peace. But they're out there. The peacemakers are out there. And Jesus says that those who make peace, they will be called the sons of God. Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake are those who will be blessed. When you think about persecution, do you think of it as a blessing? I doubt it. I think of the ancient Christians and the time of the Roman Emperor Nero, these Christians who were literally set on fire and used as candles. I think of the Christians in modern-day Nigeria who are being persecuted by groups like Boko Haram. These Nigerian Christians whose families are killed, whose houses, homes, and lands are being taken from them. I don't think of those things as blessings, but Jesus says to them is the kingdom of heaven. The last one there, those who are reviled. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Blessed are those who are hated. It's a very strange turn that Jesus is making here. But blessed are those who are hated because of their confession of Christ as Lord. How could this reviling, how could this hating be a blessing? But to them, they are blessed because their reward is great in heaven. As we look at all of these characteristics, we see the interesting reality of being a follower of Jesus is that we are the unexpected. We are the outcast. We are those who cannot follow the laws of God. We are those who come from many different walks of life, who come from many different social standings, many different levels of wealth. We're all those people who cannot keep the laws of God perfectly. We're all those who constantly fail due to our imperfections, but yet we are those who are blessed. And as I reflect on this more and more, what happens when we're poor in spirit? We seek God. What happens when we are persecuted? We seek God. What happens when we thirst for righteousness? We seek God. Speaking with somebody last night about politics, the constant thing that kept coming up was, boy, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. In all of these things, we are constantly seeking God, coming from all different walks of life. And as Jesus says elsewhere in Scripture, seek and you will find. And what we have found is that God has actually been seeking us out. And God has been blessing us. We unexpected are the blessed. We have been given the Son of God. We don't deserve it, but we are blessed to receive it. And not because we deserve it, but because God loves us. And through his work of salvation, we are declared to be the saints of God. And so now turning to John's bizarre vision from Revelation, and as we reflect on this great multitude standing before the throne of God, there's so many people there. So many that you can't even count them. And it's not a monotone crowd. It's not a bunch of white folk from Faribault, Minnesota. It is from every nation, from every tribe, from every language, from every people. These are the saints. These are the holy ones of God. And a very, very encouraging thing, there's too many of them to count. How many times in your faith do you feel like you're the only one? Sometimes it feels like I'm the only one in my own home. Sometimes it feels like I'm the only one in church. These are the ways that the devil himself tries to come in and tear us down. So we need reminders of this vision that St. John has as we see that this crowd is too big for us to count. And are all these people perfect? Well, in this vision they are, but were they in their earthly life? Absolutely not. Were these the ones who have performed miracles? I mean, there's probably a couple in there, but very few. Are these the ones who have perfectly proclaimed the love of God? Are these the ones who have saved soul after soul? No. How interesting it is that we think that God desires us to do all these great things, all these great feats, when in reality, God blesses those who simply realize their need for him. And as we look at our gospel lesson, Jesus is sort of giving us the virtues of the saints. And what are the virtues that are emphasized but being poor in spirit, being meek, thirsting for righteousness, making peace, and the others? Would you think of a saint as being poor in spirit? Would you think the multitudes of heaven are full of the meek? But the saints are. And what's even more important for us, especially today as we reflect on this, is these are all the people we know. These are all the people who have come before us. These are all the people who are around us right now. These are all the people who will follow us. These are those teachers, those parents, those grandparents, those pastors, those brothers, those sisters, those children, those random strangers who somehow encourage you, and so many more than that, people you would never even know. These are the saints gathered in heaven. And this is not only a future reality, this is a present reality as God gives us a taste of the multitude of heaven. Look around you right now. These are the saints that will be with you in eternity. Our celebration of All Saints should not be one of mourning, but a celebration, one of joy. It's difficult for us because, yeah, we do mourn the loss of those who we love dearly. We do mourn and miss our beloved people. But yet, this multitude that John reports to us is a future reality for all of those who confess Christ as Lord, where the tears are wiped away, where death is swallowed up in victory, as Paul tells us. And to be a saint, it doesn't require you to be perfect. It requires rather the trust that we have been given in the Holy One, the Holy One who has given us his holiness. We are the saints because our sins have been removed by Jesus Christ, that he has taken off this holiness and given it to us. He has taken all of the blackness of our sin and he has crucified it. And as he dies with that sin. And when he rises away from that sin into life, into a life where we will be gathered together, all living together as the multitudes of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.